Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galazzi. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing good, Jimmy. How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm going to get some golfing in now as the weather has gotten better again, so I'm anxious for that. And most importantly, Andy, I lost my 9-iron a couple weeks ago on the course. Did I tell you that?
Yes. You found it?
No, but I got my replacement. There's actually...
Right.
Their site, well, it's actually not new. It's used, but it's a club that matches my set. So that was most important. It came in. It's in good shape. So I now have my 9-iron back. All is well with the world. So I'm happy about that. But anyway, big news this week, Andy, is it's blue-white weekend. I can't say blue-white game. It's blue-white weekend, though.
Open spring practice. Fans can go watch spring practice. That's what I'm calling it. Open practice for everybody. Because it's blue-white. That's Penn State tradition. I honor tradition. I respect it and enjoy it a lot. But this will be a blue-white open spring practice. There, we combined them. We're good to go. But we'll break. We're going to break down a bunch. We're going to talk Penn State football all the way through in this Matt Campbell and the new coaching staff's first spring at the Pennsylvania State University.
The Pennsylvania State University. All right, Andy, it's, before we get specifically to the Penn State weekend and open practice, there's been trends going on, and college football has been changing completely and totally over the last half decade or so, maybe a few years more than that. And spring practice, spring games have not avoided that those changes also. The trend had been getting away from the traditional scrimmages we're used to. It seems like maybe we're getting that back a little bit. You, in your work with uplifting athletes, you get the opportunity to go to multiple of these spring practices. Why don't you real quick just kind of give us a feel for what you've been seeing?
So they've definitely gone away from, I would say, just before COVID, maybe leading up to COVID, maybe very shortly after. Remember, they would broadcast the games and there was a full spring practice and announcing teams would show up and the Big Ten Network would coordinate a schedule. So some of the bigger programs, you remember that, Jimmy, it wasn't that long ago.
I remember it.
That there's no need for that revenue anymore because college football has changed that much. And as a byproduct, I think what I'm seeing is you are getting, so it used to be historically a more traditional football game. Sometimes it would be a running clock, but it's nothing like that. It's still a, what I'm seeing this spring is still a full practice. You're still seeing your individual drills being done, right? The individual part of practice is still taking place. There's stretching. There's warming up. You've got your special teams getting their, you know, session on the field. They're, say, in session 7 of the day or whatever it is. They're getting their session on the field. Then you'll move into a little bit of 7-on-7 work. I've been seeing more 7-on-7 as a sort of precursor and warm-up to 11-on-11 where there's live hitting and tackling, except obviously the quarterbacks aren't hit. And they're rotating players through like crazy. Like that's the other thing I noticed. 105 roster, it's limiting, but you got to know a little bit more, I think, with 105 roster today. So they're cycling players through in, you know, 1, 2, and 3 groups. 3v2, 2v3, 1v3, 1v2. They move them very quick through. They're clearly identifiable groups, but they're moving them through a lot quicker. I'm finding your 11-on-11 sessions are generally like half an hour, 40 minutes of laughable. And they're running, they're trying to, they're not scrimmaging in. The defense is trying to keep them, not get them off the field in four plays, but to not allow them to drive. So they're actually working on driving the football and sustaining it offensively. And the defense's job is to stop that. If they stop them on four downs, they don't switch and change and go a different offense and a different defense. They just move back and start again and work on driving again. So it's all about driving the football, has been my experience this spring. So that's what I've been seeing. It's more like a full practice. It's about an hour and a half, an hour and 45 minutes, because obviously there are some time limitations as to how long each one of these 15 practices can be in terms of the time you spend on the field and active, productive practicing. But they're about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes, and I'd say half hour to 45 minutes is about is 11 on 11.
Well, you know, it's gone away from the traditional game scrimmage that you know we were so used to seeing. And you're right about for a while there, you know, I think the best days of these spring games are probably over.
They're behind us.
They're behind us, yes. The games where, the scoreboard is lit. Yes, they might run the clock a little bit. It's not a full game in that sense. They never did hit the quarterback, which is obviously, you know, understandable. You put the red shirt on them and don't hit them. You're tired of hearing me say, I think it's a missed opportunity in not doing those things. Because you only get, you know, so much time in the stadium with a crowd. You know, I think it's important for the players. I've talked to players where you're a veteran player, you're a fourth or fifth year guy. This is not very important to them. In fact, the entire spring, it's different with the new coaching staff, but especially if you had the same coach, you're a fourth or fifth year guy. This is meaningless. You've come out of that tunnel, you know, 40 times before. You've been on that field. I look at this, though, Andy, whether it's a practice or scrimmage or something close to a game, this is probably most important for the young players to be on that field and have the feel of a crowd there.
I agree with you in premise, and that is for an experience. I think I look at Penn State differently this year. I do think Saturday, open spring practice is important. They got in as a team to sort of the empty stadium, you know, within the last week. So they've moved over there. I think this is interesting on a couple fronts. One, it is always good. You're not wrong. It is always good to be in your stadium and have a little football contact in front of people. It never hurts you. However, for Penn State, I think this spring is elevated because they have a new coaching staff, but they're also, if you look at it in today's language, they're a blended family, Jimmy. They're so, right? They're like, yes, the Brady Bunch, right? Like, here's a story. You know, they're the Brady Bunch. They've got to figure out a lot of pieces and things individually. The coaching staff does individually by position group, et cetera, like they always do as football coaches. But this team has to blend because they're 20-some, I believe is the number from Iowa State, plus, you know, six or eight other transfers from other schools. So there are transfers at every school, but this is some Penn State guys that stayed there. There's a lot from another school with the coaching staff. So there's a lot of blending that needs. Yeah, there's a lot of blending that needs to go on for this team to have that sort of, we feel like one team instead of a bunch of guys from two different places. We were here at Penn State. These are the guys from Iowa State. Oh, and then the third group is the guys who come from anywhere else, right? Everybody has that, but they have that extra element of blending. So there is that going on just for this year for Penn State as they move through the transition with the new coaching staff.
I do think in speaking to some of the players, Andy, I get the feel that they've done a pretty good job in that blending, you know, and it's going to happen naturally in that you're going to have position groups. You know, there's now the running back room where the running backs become a clique. You know, the tight ends have their group, and all of a sudden you're more tightly aligned with your teammates who are in the same position position group, as opposed to, oh, that guy who I'm a running back on offense, you know, from Iowa State. Well, the Iowa State safety, I'm not in meetings with them very often. I'm always with my running back guys. So that seems to have been taking hold. The other thing going on with this team is the number of injuries, and I don't think there's a couple that will affect them come fall. Most of them will not.
Correct.
But you've got to be careful with them. So I am understanding of Penn State not doing the traditional game based on that. You could just look at the quarterback position, Andy. Rocco Beck, I suspect if this were October, he'd probably be able to play.
100%.
But because it's the spring, the last thing you want is that guy to get hit.
Yeah.
And now he will be on the field and throwing, you know, maybe he'll do 7-on-7, but not 11-on-11. I'm not sure where they're going to draw the line. But it was his non-throwing shoulder that had the surgery. So his throwing shoulder is fine. But the backup, Alex Mansky, he just arrived in State College. He's been back home, you know, nursing an injury. So you have a situation, and it's not just the quarterback position. You're hearing the same thing at tight end, offensive line, linebacker. Yeah. They're missing enough guys that I'm giving a full pass on not doing a scrimmage this year.
I think Penn State has identified, I'd say, a half dozen players as who could be or are potential top-tier contributors that they have essentially put a blanket over and said, not in April, right? They're not for April guys.
Right, you can't blame Matt Campbell for being cautious with that.
Conscious decision, smart.
Right, you know, he is doing slow and right, not fast and wrong. He's used the expression often. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter number one. We got lots more to talk about for the spring open practice, so stay with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. This is quarter number two of our show. We're talking about the blue-white open practice this weekend, Andy. And it's not going to be the typical game. That's okay. So I need your help, though, okay? And I think our listeners do also. I want to ask you, it's okay, I've decided to attend the game. It's not going to be on TV or the practice I'm going to attend. I want you to help me out with explaining what it is that we're going to see and how best to watch it. Again, we went through team stretch, group walkthrough, special teams, individual drills, team drills, 7-on-7, 11-on-11. What does all of that mean? What are we actually going to see? And then what should I be looking for while I'm there?
So I think I've got like three or four spots or three or four position groups. and some guys I want you to that I think are important to watch for different reasons. I'm going to start with the running backs, right? Hopefully they give you some kind of rostering number and you can figure out whoever that. Watch Carson Hansen, the Iowa State transfer. The guy brings a solid FBS resume to the table. You've got James Peoples, the Ohio State transfer. He found his way into regular RB3 carries for the Buckeyes last year in an absolutely loaded backfield. There's some merit to that. Both these guys bring 5 yards of carry to the table. Then you have Quentin Martin Jr., right? An actual Penn State guy who stayed. He flashed in some limited snaps, and he had a good effort in the bowl game. That trio, they're the meat and potatoes, the brisket and mac and cheese, the turkey and mashed taters, whatever combo, you know, meat and combo is your favorite. These are the load carriers, and these are going to be, I think, the bright and shining stars of this offense as I see it going forward. I really do. I think the trio is, they're not 10 and 13, please. I'm not saying they're Allen and Singleton. They are not. But collectively, they bring a lot to the table. They give this offense and this coordinator a lot of options. So watch those three on Saturday. That's just not one running back. I'm giving you three of them. Watch all three of them and just get a taste and see what you think. That's my two cents. Is I think they are the load carriers and the potential bright shining stars of this offense as I see it going forward. So that's the top of my list for what to watch.
Well, okay. You're talking about that's, you know, a position group watching that. Tell me a little bit more about team stretch. Okay. I can't imagine anything more boring than watching a bunch of guys stretch.
Yep.
Is there anything we should be looking for with what they're calling individual drills?
Yep. Watch the centers. Watch both of them. I think there's two of them that are competing, right? You've got transfer Brock Recker. Penn State's never seen him. Penn State fans have never seen him. Who, by the way, his name is Brock, and he's from Brock, Texas, and he went to Brock High School. He came to Penn State from Texas State. I think he's a Purdue number one center. Watch him. Watch them both snap in the shotgun. Watch them both, how they rotate, how they play. The other one is Dominic Rooley. He's a fifth-year Penn State guy, right? He played in the bowl game. He showed himself well after many years. So I think these two guys are your Penn State centers for 2026. I don't know which one is one and which one is two. Something tells me that they're going to probably use or need both. The center position is a hidden key position in my book offensively. The middle of the field matters. You got running back, quarterback, center, defensive, interior guys, linebackers, safeties. Right up the middle of the field, pay attention to. The edges are where all the bright shining star and the glitz and glamour happen. Up the middle of the field is where, you know, the rubber meets the road and the dog meets the bark. So you like that one. So I say watch the centers during the individual one-on-one drills. Watch both of them. You know, do they look like either one could play right now as you're watching them? How they warm up, practice, snap. Everyone takes for granted snapping. And the art of it is so important. It fires the engine. And, we all know the results of poor snaps, right? So watch them on the individual one-on-ones. Watch the centers. Just watch them. Watch how they rotate. Watch how they work. It's probably about individual drills. They'll probably break it down into a few sessions. They'll be about 8 to 10 minutes each. You'll get a good look at them. So those are the guys I say you watch in the individual drill part. Watch the two centers.
Okay, now explain, before we get to 11-on-11, we'll see some 7-on-7. Explain what 7-on-7 means beyond just their 7 guys offense, 7 guys defense. Explain what it means, what they're looking for, what we as fans should be looking for on 7-on-7s.
So 7-on-7 is all about play call, timing, rhythm, and execution. It's basically for the skill players. You know, the center is part of that because they will snap. Quarterback in rhythm. It's not going to be the quarterback. I think Rocco's going to compete in 7-on-7 because he can.
Yes.
There's no rushing. There's no contact in the middle of the line. It's really play calls and timing for the offense and defense. Are the corners in the right position? Are they up tight? If they pull them up tight and do 1-on-1, how do they look in 1-on-1? That type of competition, are the safeties covering in an umbrella and doing the right things? They're not going to do running plays. They'll throw to the running backs in those situations. So they're looking for play calls and a high level of execution at a rapid rate. 7-on-7 will move fast. The coaches will speed up the accelerator to move them along because they're looking for execution of a – they're looking for a few good plays. They're looking for execution at a high level right now to say this is our building block. This is our level one of what we're going to install in our offense starting in the fall. They're looking to see that in the 7-on-7. So I say watch the center, watch the quarterbacks, right? Look for timing and rhythm. And for the most fun, watch the safeties because they're just hawking the ball. They're just having fun because they know it's 7-on-7. Watch the safeties is another part of it.
Well, it's because there's not the offense and defensive line. You're not going to, you know, it's not going to be 3 yards in a cloud of dust running the ball. So that's probably the best time to take a look at the receivers and if there's the timing between the quarterback and the receivers. And I would also think, Andy, it's an opportunity to see, can these receivers get open? I mean, that's been our question for years.
Yeah, I've been avoiding the receivers this spring for a reason because the
Andy, let me stop you there. You've been avoiding the receivers for about the last 4 years. So just full disclosure.
I'm only avoiding them this spring because right now they're just getting their ears and feet wet. I will dive deeper into the receivers come fall because they're gonna be critical. Because they have such a low bar. They have a new coach, new coaching staff. They have a bunch of new guys. I think they have a bright, shining star and a Penn State recruit who's still there, potentially. But I'm not looking at them right now. Yes, you're going to get a look at them. Can they get open? I think they're going to – I think Terry Smith, the quarterback's coach, is going to stick his corners on these guys and want them to shine and say, beat us. That's the time to do it. Do it now. Take a look at it, but it wasn't on my list. Thank you for mentioning it.
Well, you mentioned something interesting when you said, you know, Terry will have his guys primed and ready. If you're a coach, I mean, there's a guy who's the head coach of the defense. There's, you know, Terry's the head coach of the cornerbacks, if you know what I mean. There's pride there. You never want to lose a rep even. So I think that's part of it.
You want your guys dogging your other guys that are on your team in this 7-on-7, especially because it's not a lot of contact. You want them, you know, up in their grill and making their life miserable. And if you're the receivers coach, you want your guys burning them and blazing them through their routes and creating separation and have them chasing the tail of your jersey. So it's equal parts.
Andy, I don't know if we'll see this in individual drills, but I attended a practice where, to me, the favorite part was where they did – there was a quarterback, there was a receiver, one defender.
One-on-ones.
One-on-ones. Yeah. And watching this, the defense, if the defender made the play, the entire defense went crazy. If they complete the pass – the offensive players go crazy. So there's a lot of pride between the two. You stop being that blended family. It's now you're on the offensive family or the defensive family, and that's how you reacted.
That is skill position Oklahoma drill. That brings a lot of juice and energy to a practice. And it's just simply mano y mano. And it's for the skill guys. It is one of the more fun things to watch. I don't think they're going to do it on Saturday. They're going to do it in a bigger picture because you keep that inside the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do, Andy. And it's unfortunate because, there's a winner and there's a loser on every rep.
Every single rep. Yep. You got a penthouse and an outhouse every single rep. The quarterback's got to be consistently making the easy throws look easy to give his guy a chance to win. That also matters. So yeah. You don't put that on display for your fan base. Don't do that.
But I wish they would. It was very entertaining, and there were not a lot of you mentioned the easy throws. There were not a lot of easy throws because a lot of pride by that defensive player. You do not want to get beat.
Right. No, Oklahoma drill for skill players is my favorite. I prefer it over the regular old school Oklahoma drill where you had the D lineman or linebacker, offensive lineman and a running back inside a tight window. I think the skill one's more fun. It's more valuable.
It is. All right. Speaking of favorites, Andy.
Yes.
Guess what comes next?
Oh, you're going to, I get to ask some questions, answer some questions from fans that, and they're not your questions. That makes them the best of all.
All right. So be it. You get your favorite part. We're going to ask Andy. That is coming up right after this break. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B, empowered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim. He's Andy. It's quarter number three of our show, which means it's time to ask Andy. This is where we take your questions. If you have our app, you see the button, the Ask Andy button. If you don't have the app, you could either send in a note or question if you're doing it from the website. I now have in a place where you can send a question or a comment, or just email me, info@ksnsports.net. Andy, you always like golf questions. Let's start with that. And Scott from Lebanon, who says, Andy, Jim always says what a good golfer you are. Without any false modesty, how good are you for real?
So I will give indicators. I'm pulling up. So my USGA Gin Handicap Index is 7.5. Now that's a little... That doesn't mean I shoot in the 70s all the time. My average score for the past year is 82.1. So my low round is 74 in the past year, and my high round was 91. And that's 20 rounds. That's my last 20 rounds, whether it's 9 holes or 18 holes. I play in a 9-hole league. So recently, I played in Myrtle Beach in California in February, March, and April. I was 82. I shot a 91 one day. I had a 74 in California. I shot a 40 at 9 holes in Pensacola, Florida. I shot an 84 in Florida, 81 in Florida. And my last 2 9 holes since I've been back, I had some back issues. I played my golf league last week and shot 38. And this past Monday, I went out and shot 39.
Enough said, Andy. Enough said. I will just put in my quick scattering report from having played with Andy. I told you this, Andy. I love your swing. It seems almost effortless. and the ball just jumps, and it's, you are not, you know what, again, I often use analogies to baseball and different sports. If you were a pitcher, you wouldn't be a thrower, you would be a pitcher. You know your craft. Okay, so all right, that's the prerequisite, the requisite Andy golf question. Let's move on now. Let's go to Matt in Massachusetts, who says, Jim and Andy, at least I get my name mentioned in these questions. In your opinion, what are the top three attributes that make college football coaches great recruiters? Let's exclude NIL and previous performance. So what makes a guy a good recruiter, Andy?
That he can relate to the family, not just the player. In other words, they trust him. The family feels like he's trustworthy, or he resonates, or they relate to him. So I think resonating with anybody and everybody else beyond the player themselves matters. I think the second biggest attribute is to understand what you can sell that is different. In other words, everybody's got 9 or 10 things that are the same that they can sell you. What can you find, those 1, 2, or 3 things that are different, and understand, you know, why they are valuable, and be able to sort of put together the value proposition of them? That's 2. And 3 is to understand what you are looking for first. In other words, what are the 4 or 5 attributes and players that I'm looking for? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it character? Understand and identify those, and put a blanket and keep that blanket heated up, warm, and used often. That's, in a nutshell, those are the 3 attributes that I feel can separate a coach beyond the, you know, the NIL stuff. So those are the 3 things that I go to and look as identifiable. Like, from a parent who had a son who played, you know, collegiately, when he was shopping, I'm like, the choice is yours, right? I'm not offering my opinions and thoughts, even though he would ask them, like, this is your decision. But I knew which ones I liked that he was looking at and choosing from. And I know which coach I thought was best for him. He did not make that choice. He chose his own path, and it ended up not working out for him, because I'm like, that coach isn't the right coach for you. Everything else fit, but the coach was the wrong person for him, and it ended up not being the best experience for him. But that was his decision to make. But there were other coaches that resonated with me better. I'm like, that guy, I like that guy. That's the human being that I think fits you best.
You know, it's sometimes young people have to learn on their own, Andy.
Correct.
They learn through experience. And yep, sometimes it's a good parent letting your child learn through experience. I'm going to give you, you know, just my quick 2 cents on this. Is the attribute is, what are you looking for? And again, I'm going to relate this to normal
baseball.
Life, okay?
Oh, normal now, life, okay.
Most not of the time baseball. I do baseball, but I relate it to normal life. So many of us in our work experience, you go to the place where, you know, there's salesmen, they're all selling the same product, but there's that one salesman, just everybody is drawn to him. For some reason, he's just so successful. The right. Same thing, maybe it's just, you know, there's a group of managers. Why is there this one? Everybody loves working for them. They're just different. And do you see that trait? And I'll give you 2 names of coaches that I've seen that. And the one of them is James Franklin.
Yep.
The first time I met him,
great
in
sales.
A social setting, he was phenomenal. He was outstanding. He made great you sales. Feel like you were the only person in the room. And it's yep. a room full of people. But he had that charm, that ability to do that. So I know it's the thing for Penn State folks to do right now is to be critical of James Franklin. But give the devil his due. There are certain things he's outstanding at.
He's one of the best at that.
And I'll mention this, and this will be for our old listeners who remember the name. I know I've mentioned this before on this show. Jim Valvano. Yeah. I got to meet him as a young man, you know, great 13 years old. Dynamic. Absolutely, yes. Dynamic is the right word. At play basketball, the issues I had was, Andy, when you're 5.5 foot tall, can't shoot, and aren't particularly fast, you're not going to get to college playing basketball. However, and at the time, Jim Valvano was coaching at Bucknell, not North Carolina State, where we won a national championship. But if I were the top recruit in the country, I would have followed him to Bucknell because he was that dynamic.
I'll give you an old school football guy who was outstanding, Bobby Bowden.
Yes.
Bobby Bowden was so good at it. He was outstanding. West Virginia, Florida State. He was a pioneer ahead of his time on that front. In today's, a lot of old school coaches, you'd be like, could they transfer to Bobby Bowden? Could translate to today's modern college football game. Bobby Bowden in his prime would fit just fine in 2026 college football. He was that good and that far ahead of his time.
Not to continue off tangent, but it's what we do, Andy. Bobby Bowden, I think what people forget, when he took over Florida State, they weren't what we remember as Florida State. They were not a good program. He made them a good program. And the other part to this, before they became the dominant team that they did become under him, what he would do with his team, the onside kicks or the special plays, and he did a lot of crazy things which could equalize the field if he didn't have the same amount of talent. So yep. It wasn't just in those later years where he was coaching more talent than you had. He was able to coach before he had the most talent. All right, let's go to our buddy Brad in Perkasie, who says he has two questions and they're both in totally different directions. First, he says,
oh boy,
should Penn State claim the 1994 as a national championship? Second question, do you think Penn State's defense will switch from a 4-3 to a 4-2-5 depending on the team they are playing, and which will we see more of and why?
Interesting. 1994. Well, the answer to both questions is yes. 4-2-5. I think they'll be 4-3 base. I'll do the second question first. 4-3 base because they have the linebackers to do it. 4-2-5 predominantly and situationally. I think they can adjust and be a chameleon based on their opponent because of their flexibility in the secondary. So yes, 1994, absolutely. I'm not a Penn State guy and Penn State fan, but that team was as at least at the very minimum bottom of the barrel as good as Nebraska. They were, in my mind, they were miles ahead of them. So they were the best college football team that year because they did everything that you would want from the best team in the country. And they were, 1994, yes.
They had one of the historically great offenses. The mistake they made is Joe Paterno had two national championships. Tom Osborne had none at that point.
Yep.
People sympathize with him that way. And the other part was political. A lot of votes, there were both the coaches and sports writers polls. Traditionally, correct, when you have two teams who you could argue either one to win, it was almost like an unspoken agreement. One would give a national championship to one, the other would give it to the other team. And it just, that's how it worked often, the split national championship. But this was political, where you expect Penn State had just joined the Big Ten. And typically, your conference will always vote for you, the coaches and the regional writers. It was the only time that was not the case.
That was not
Big Ten the case, writers but... all voted for Nebraska because they resented Penn State coming into the conference. All right, Andy, that's it. What do we get? Two, three? We got three questions.
Three questions.
We got more show to go. Stick with us.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. This is quarter number four of our show. We're coming down the home stretch. Andy, let's get back to talking about this spring practice on Saturday. I want to get back to the things, the positions, groups, the players that we should be looking for, but I'm going to give you one before you give me some more of yours. I think at the quarterback position, you know, it's obvious you want to see Rocco Beck throw. But you know what? Go online. You can get some tapes from Iowa State. You can see a lot of him. Yes, go to YouTube. You can see a lot. But after that, in the quarterback room, there's Alex Mansky, a redshirt freshman who you'd think is the heir apparent, but he's out all spring nursing an injury. He was home for rehab. Then there's a couple of true freshmen. They brought in a veteran player, which they needed to have to fill in that slot. A guy by the name of Connor Barry, who they brought in from a school. Do you know what school he came from?
I can't recall off the top of my bald head.
Christopher Newport. Do you know where that school Christopher Newport is?
Obviously, I do not.
You know what? You're going to say, oh, I should have. It's in Newport News, Virginia. Oh. And
I would have thought Newport, Rhode Island.
Their mascot or their team nickname is the Captains. Their mascot is known as Captain Chris. All right, so now you know. But I think, Andy, he's a guy worth keeping an eye on because it's not unusual to see the backup quarterback at some point during the season. Mansky, he's coming off whatever injury that it is. He's a young player. If you need someone, you know, to play the second half or to start one game during the season, might it be nice to have that veteran who has 4 years under his belt? I know from a much smaller school, I kind of want to take a look at him. He's not the biggest quarterback in the world. Where was it? I was looking at him. He's 6'1", 206. I'd be curious to see him throw the ball, Andy.
Yeah, I don't care about the quarterback position. I'm not raining on your parade, Jimmy.
Yes, you are.
I understand. I think we're pretty sure who the quarterback one and two are. You might get a little window, you know, you might get a little taste of Rocco. You're not going to see Mansky. They're one, QB1, QB2. Get me to the fall, and let's talk about the quarterback more in depth. Right now, I think you're trying to make a molehill out of an anthill.
Well, I just don't think – I'm not as confident as you that Alex Mansky, you pencil him in as the de facto backup. I'm just not as sure. So I want to see if this guy can play or not. All right, you're up, Andy. You told me you have a couple more things to keep an eye on.
Yep.
Give them to me.
So I'm going to start with the defensive ends. I'm not going to list any of the names. I'm just going to say that this is a no judgment zone when I say watch the defensive ends. You can watch them in the individual drills. You can watch them in the 11-11. No judgment here. It's the position everyone knows and expects this defense to take a step or two back on, based on the returning talent, the transfer talent, and the ridiculous level that this position's been at Penn State for the last 5 or 6 years. They do have some meat on the bone. It's not elite. It's not anything even in the neighborhood of what Penn State fans are used to as elite. But for this opportunity, I just think you can do a little window shopping. Just do a little window shopping. You're not buying anything. You're not making any concrete opinions. This is a no judgment zone at this position. Just do some window shopping and see what you think. I think this is a subjective position. Right now, it is the most subjective position for Penn State. And see what you think as a football fan and look at it from that, because there is a lot of new and different going to be in place at that position than what Penn State fans are used to. So at that position alone, no names right now, just do some window shopping. It doesn't matter who's playing. Just watch them play.
You know, I think that's a good call, Andy. And I think typically in this kind of practice, if you're looking at line play with the 11-on-11, I don't imagine we're going to see a lot of stunts, things like that, will we?
No, you're not going to see much stunting, or it's going to be straight up because you want it to be straight up. Yeah, you
okay. With that in mind, you know, the interior offensive line might be a little more difficult to glean anything from it.
You're not going to get anything there.
But you brought up the defensive ends. I'm going to go to the other side of the coin, which is the offensive tackles who have to deal with the defensive ends. I think there in an 11-on-11, we might see somebody stand out either on the defensive side or on the offensive side. And the one name to – I will name a name, Andy, and that's Malachi Goodman. He's a redshirt freshman that the coaching staff has been raving about. He's number 78. All right. I think it's worth keeping an eye on him, because when you're playing tackle, you're going to go one-on-one against Andy's defensive ends, and you could be made to look pretty bad by a defensive end. You can be exposed. Now, again, a young player, if he gets beat once or twice, do not go crazy. Okay, because it's the spring and a very young player, and a defensive end might be able to take advantage of him. Especially, he's a very big guy. He's listed at 6'6", 330. Okay, a speed rush might beat him. But I think they rave so much about him. And kind of the more subtle point here, I think, too, Andy, is James Franklin. One of the traits about him that I really liked, and it took a while for me to get used to it, if he raved about a player, it was typically the truth, okay? Joe Paterno would always rave about the backup player and it'd never see the field. But when James Franklin brought up a guy's name, it usually came to fruition. They've been talking about Goodman quite a bit. I want to see if there's some reality to what the coaches are telling us, Andy.
That's a good one-player target to focus on. I was going to go bigger picture, and it is a good matchup to watch because it's kind of in the 11-on-11, they're going to be mano-a-mano, right? Like no stunts, no curls, no inside-outs, outside-ins. It's just going to be tackle on an island, end on an island, running plays, passing plays. You're going to get the full Monty. It's a good mano-a-mano to watch. I will just caution again with the defensive end, window shopping only, please. Don't look for anything concrete. Just see what you think right now.
Right. Exactly. This isn't going to tell you everything, but it
not
might
tell you much.
But it might tell you a little bit. It tells you something, if not everything. I agree with that, Andy. All right, how about you got more positions? Go ahead.
I got one more, and it's the last one. I figured, you know, a nice little five-pack. Watch the two transfer linebackers from Iowa State. Caleb Bacon and Cooper Ebel. They're both, by all indicators, going to be available. They probably aren't going to play a lot because they are a couple of well-seasoned USDA prime NCAA FBS linebackers. They bring, you know, 120-some tackles combined a year ago to the table. Now, they are playing for a new defensive coordinator this year, but watching these guys, they have plenty of adaptable skills and indicators. To me, that they're going to be the heart and soul of this defense. They are all over the field, Jimmy, and they hawk the ball extremely well, not only in the run game, but in the sort of outside edges pass game, you know, in that short passing game. They are very good ball hawks. I would encourage Penn State fans to just watch them and get a taste of them because you're going to see a lot of them in 2026. And I also think you're going to hear Steve Jones and Jack Ham say their names a lot on the radio if you listen to Penn State game, because they are efficient tackle machines that seem to have that knack for putting themselves in the spot where they're supposed to be almost every single time. I'm not saying every single time, but almost every single time. In other words, they don't get beat or they don't get outplayed by them falling short and making a mistake. The other guy just has to be better than them on that play. So take a look at those two guys, because in my estimation, looking at this defense, they've got heart and soul potential written all over them for this defense for Penn State. It doesn't matter whether they play three linebackers or two linebackers. These guys are going to be major contributors. So that's the last one I'll tell you to take a look at for Saturday's game.
You know, Andy, that's a good call. I think those are the guys that the type of players that Penn State fans will fall for.
They will love these guys.
They're the blue collar type. They will make the play. They will be sure tacklers. They will hit people. And
they're not flashy. They're not running around, you know, making splash plays. You're just like, at the end of the day, you'll be like, those two guys had like 17 combined tackles and you didn't really know it. And you were just like, man, they were good. Their linebacker play was good. That's who they are.
You'll notice them when they hit someone hard, okay? Those kind of tackles. In my head, you know, and I just made this connection because we talked about him, or you talked about him earlier, Carson Henson, the running back. Yeah. I think they're like comparable. Both have high floors. They make the right play, not necessarily flashy, but they get the job done.
Yeah, they are blue-collar football players. They're going to fit this system. If you want to throw Caleb in there, these three guys, they might end up being in the long haul over a 12-game schedule. They might be three of the four or five most important transfers Penn State got for the 2026 season. Not just from Iowa State, but they are Iowa State guys.
All right, Andy, that's going to be it for the show. I appreciate your input. I hope that helps everybody enjoy the weekend even more so.
Yep.
I'm not sure about the weather. I hope it ends up being a good one. I'm going to be there, Andy. I hope to see some of you out there. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent, led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students. It's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.